Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2014 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to our third quarter 2014 call. As usual, I will make some comments about the main events that characterize this quarter as well as the 9 months, and then I will turn the microphone to Mr. De Angelis, who will take you through the financials. As for the latest quarters, although the exchange rate had a negligible impact on our sales, I will make my comments on sales at constant exchange rate to allow a better understanding and comparison with previous quarters of the real trend of the revenues. Now, let me start from sales by technology, commenting the Clear X Vitamin D products first and then the Vitamin D alone. In the quarter, the Clear X Vitamin D continued to do very well, as you have been seeing in the last quarters. In Q3, in fact, our Clear family grew 16% and 17.4% in the first 9 months. This growth has been mainly driven by the strong performance of our assays throughout all clinical areas, and in particular in few key ones, such the infectious disease, the prenatal screening, and the HIV and hepatitis. The success of this test strengthens our confidence in the future growth coming from our CLIA test in all the clinical areas, making our CLIA X vitamin D revenues the driver that should be looked at when evaluating our company today and in the future. I'm also proud of the success of the new products launched in the last 12 months, with a particular evidence of our gastrointestinal infections and the new 125 vitamin D, which are significantly boosting our revenues. This success is the proof that the continuous effort of DiaSorin to differentiate the CLIA menu, which is possible thanks to great work of our research and development team, is helping us to grow significantly also in a crowded market. Another success I want to mention is the increase of our Liaison Excel install base. At September 2014, we had more than 1,500 Liaison Excel installed, and we got to the 5,700 mark for the total install base. This again is the proof that our analyzer perfectly fits the needs of medium-large labs. Let me now move to vitamin D. In the quarter, vitamin D declined, as we were expecting, 7.2%, with a deceleration in the negative trend vis-a-vis the last quarters. If we then carve out the discount we provided to LabCorp on vitamin D in exchange of nuclear products, the decline would have been only 3.7%, in line with what we consider a physiological reduction in this product line. Let me remind you, in fact, that 3 to 5% discount on every CLIA product is what a company should take in consideration whenever renegotiating large contracts with its clients. For this reason, the current vitamin D decline can be considered physiological again and not exceptional as it used to be in the past. In the 9 months, the decline of vitamin D was 8.3%, but excluding the discount to LabCorp, the percentage is negative for only 5.6%. Now, let's now move away from products and let's focus on geographies, starting from North America. In the quarter, revenues are up almost 3% versus prior year and still 2.2% down in the 9 months. This positive trend in the third quarter was driven by the success of CLIA-X vitamin D revenues, which raised 85% thanks to the fact that the new test we introduced in the market, as well as the success of the LabCorp franchise with all these products. In the first 9 months, the CLIA-X vitamin D sales are up 77%. At the same time, vitamin D continues to decline due to the reduction in sales price including the price concession granted to Labcorp that we have discussed before. Overall, let me consider the vitamin D situation in the U.S. under full control with our U.S. business starting again to grow after all the issues we had to experience in the last 3 years. Now, let's move to Europe. Europe continues to show a good growth, and revenues were up 4.4% in the quarter and over 5% in the first 9 months. In particular, I would like to focus on Italy, where revenues are accelerating with a 6.8% growth in Q3 and a 5.4% in growth in the 9 months, despite the fact that, as you all know, there is a negative trend in the local market, which is declining 0.5%. And again, the success in the Italian market was mainly driven by the Clea assays, which grew 8.2% in the quarter. And vitamin D also has been a contributor because it's picking up in the Italian market as well, although the level of penetration in this market is far behind what we see in markets like the U.S., France, or other European markets. Now let's move to Germany. Germany continues to be a successful story for us, growing over 10%. Now we are at 10.8% in the quarter and 14.6% in the first 9 months. And this is the result of the success of all our CLIA assays on top of what we already had established as a customer base in the previous quarters. And again, the gastrointestinal infection as well as 125 have been the two assays which have been the most successful in the last quarter, and they have contributed to growth of revenues in this very competitive market. France is down almost 6% in the quarter and 8% in the 9 months. As we already discussed in the last conference call, a recent national healthcare reform cut the number of claims approved as reimbursement for the vitamin D prescriptions. This reform affected our sales in the country with a significant contraction of vitamin D volumes in France, which offset the important and strong success we experienced with the rest of the product catalog. I remind you that the CLIA non-vitamin D products are growing in France over 25% in the third quarter. Now, let's move away from Europe into Asia-Pacific. And concerning Asia-Pacific, the region showed a growth of 17.6% in Q3 and 8.5% in the first 9 months, so with an acceleration in this region in the third quarter. The quarterly acceleration in revenues is a result of the increase of test sales in all the countries in the region where we sell both directly and via distributors. Now, let's first focus on China. China grew 19.1% in the quarter and 10% in the first 9 months, following an increase of sales in CLIA test as well as the Murex line. Furthermore, in Q3 alone, we installed 30 new Liaison Excel in China, reaching a total installed base of Liaison Excel in the country of 98 instruments, confirming the strong interest on our new analyzer as well as on the CLIA test that are run on board of the Excel. Finally, yet importantly, let me highlight to you the success we experienced in China with Murex in the third quarter, where we pick up some of the sales that we have lost in Q1. And in the third quarter, sales almost doubled with an increase of, and in the 9 months, sorry, we now register an increase of 11.5%. As far as Australia, which is the other geography where we operate directly in the region, in Q3 the growth was equal to 6.5%, 3.3% in the 9 months. And as far as the third quarter is concerned, we just consider CLIA sales net of vitamin D. If we do that, the CLIAx vitamin D brand registered a strong increase equal to 43.2%. So again, we are successfully diluting in Australia the risk of vitamin D and moving the customer base from a vitamin D only to vitamin D and CLIAxD. Now let's move to South America, which has been very disappointing, but we expected that, as we have discussed in previous call. And this is mainly due to the poor performance of two geographies, two countries, Brazil and Venezuela, mm-hmm. whereas in all other geographies in South America, we have been experiencing strong growth, including Mexico, which is the other country where we are direct. As far as Venezuela is concerned, the country declined by 2.7% in the quarter and 13% in 9 months due to the socio-political instability, which has strongly affected our distribution network and the ability to sell products in our currency. We don't expect this to recover. It was a very important market for us where we had almost 5 million euro in revenues, and today we expect to become no more than a million by year end. As for Brazil, in Q3 revenues were down 17% and 12% in 9 months, mainly due to the effect of the change occurred in the previous quarters of 2014 of our distribution network on the Murex business line. I think that we have discussed before, Brazil has been very difficult for us in the last two quarters for two reasons. First, because a lot of accounts and tenders have been frozen due to the recent election on one side and the World Cup in the previous month. As well as the fact that we changed the distribution model for the Murex line, moving away from the previous distribution network, who belongs still to Abbott, to a new set of distributors, and some delays in moving away from the old distribution network has caused our inability to participate to some key tenders. We believe that this business may continue to suffer in Q4 and stabilize, showing small growth in 2015. Now, if we go now to discuss the research and development, in Q3 we launch an important new CLIA product, the HIV High Throughput, which allow us to strengthen our presence in the blood bank market. And the strategy of diasorin in blood banks has developed through the acquisition from Abbott in 2010 of the Murex line, which was the leading brand of blood banks. And following that acquisition, then we developed a full, complete menu of blood banks on our Liaison Excel platform. Thanks to the completeness of our menu, we recently won a very important tender in Turkey with Red Crescent, with the Murex line, where we were awarded for the full blood bank business for the whole country for the next 4 years. So it's been a very relevant one for us using our platforms. Now, let me move to profitability. As far as the profitability is concerned, the EBITDA margin is equal to 36.7% in the quarter. Nonetheless, if we exclude the positive effect that we register of the exchange rates and the negative impact of the molecular business, the EBITDA margin would have been 37.5%. We have been starting from the last few quarters. We have been try to carve out the contribution of the molecular business, which is still absorbing profitability, so as a negative impact on the EBIT, as well as the exchange rate, which has been working against us at least in the first 9 months. If we look at the 9 months, the EBITDA margin was equal to 36.2%, but if we exclude again the one-off effect and non-recurring cost it occurred in the first half of this year, we already discussed in the last conference call, and that number is equal to 1.2 million. The negative effect of the euro appreciation, that is equal to 1.3 million, and the molecular business impact, that is equal to 4 million, give or take, the company adjusted EBITDA level margin is 37.8%, which in my opinion represents the way our business goes as far as at constant exchange rate and without the effect, the one-off effect, and the molecular investment that, again, I said before, molecular is still taking some profitability because of the R&D effort in developing menu. Now we'll turn the microphone to Mr. De Angelis, who will take you through the numbers, and then we will open the Q&A session. Please, Pierluigi.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Today I would like to focus your attention on a few key indicators. As far as our financial statement is concerned, I would like to highlight the cumulative net financial expenses at September 30th, 2014 was equal to 0.5 million euros, decreasing if compared to 3.8 million euros registered in the same period of the previous year, due to the following reason. The effect of exchange rate difference that were positive for 1.6 million euros in the 9 months of 2014, while in the same period of 2013 it was negative for 1.3 million euros. The exchange difference realized by the parent company on dividends paid by the United States and South African that are equal to 0.6 million euros, and the change in the value in euros of the intercompany loan disbursed in local currency to our Australian subsidiary by the parent company equal to 0.2 million euros. I would like to focus also your attention on the lower impact of the tax rate if compared with the same period of last year. The tax rate for the third quarter 2014 was 33.9%, down when compared to the 35% tax rate of the same period of last year. In the first 9 months of 2014 was 35.5%, a decrease compared to 2013, 37.4%, due to a different geographical composition of taxable income within the group, the reduction of withholding impact from lower dividends, and most recently the reduction in the tax rate in Italy since the introduction of measures for economic recovery. As far as the consolidated net profit for the third quarter 2014, it summarized 21.3 million euros, increasing when compared to the 20 million euros of the same period of last year. For the first 9 months of 2014, the net profit amounted to 61.3 million euros, increasing if compared with a net profit of 61.1 million euros in the same period of last year, and with a margin of 18.8%. Furthermore, let me highlight the main points related to the cash. In the third quarter of this year, cash flow from operating activities amounted to 39 million euros, increasing compared to 36.7 million in the third quarter of 2013. In the first 9 months of this year, the cash generated from operating activities amounted to 91.9 million euros. Net cash used in investing activity in the third quarter 2014 amounted to 6.8 million euros, decreasing compared to the 8.7 million euros in the third quarter of 2013, mainly due to a decrease of investment in medical equipment, which summarized 4.3 million euros in the third quarter of this year compared to the 5.4 million of the same period of 2013. In the 9 months of 2014, it amounted to 21 million euros compared to the 21.6 of 9 months of 2013. The net cash used in financing activity in the first quarter 2014 amounted to €3.1 million, comparable to the €3.1 million of the same period of last year. It is worth mentioning the €3 million of debt repayment in the first quarter of 2014 and the €3.4 million of positive impact from changes in exchange rate on financial items, especially on the stock denominated in the United States currency available to the group at the end of the period of analysis. In the same period of 2013, the group registered a negative impact of €1 million. In the nine months of this year, cash used in financing activities amounted to €30.2 million, while in the same period of last year it amounted to €76.3 million. The free cash flow for the first quarter 2014 amounted to €32.1 million and for the first 9 months of this year amounted to €71.2 million, an increase when compared to the €36.9 million of the first half of 2013. As for the consolidated net financial position, at September 30th, 2014, was positive by €143.9 million, an increase of €45.9 million compared to December 31st, 2013, due to the significant cash flow from operation for the first 9 months of 2014. In view of the group's operating performance after September 30th, 2014, we confirm the guidance for this year.
Thank you, operator. So I would end the session.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Patrick Wood of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, and thank you very much for taking my questions. The first is on the agreement with Roche. I think you guys were expecting to have an update on the hardware side and integration there around about November time, so around about now. If you could just let us know how that's going, that'd be good. The second is on the cash side. I know you're bored of this question, but you have quite a bit of cash on the balance sheet. How are you thinking about that? How are you thinking about uses? Obviously, a lot of the M&A market is getting very expensive now. And then the final one is just on the stool panel. How's things going there? Obviously, I was at AMP a little while ago, and it seems a lot of the market is moving over to a molecular solution rather than using some of the clear solutions. Is that just people talking up their own business, or is there any sort of truth to that? Thanks.
As far as Roche is concerned, I cannot make any comment because we have the meeting with them in order to come to the completion of the development at the end of the month, and so we remain positive to the fact that we expect next year to start seeing the impact of the Roche collaboration with placements. Meanwhile, if you remember, we are continuing to participate to tenders which involve our automation along with other partners, using the fact that today our system is connected to other systems currently in the market. As far as use of cash, we discussed before, yes, we do have a very hefty cash generation. Yes, you're right, assets are expensive. However, it is very clear that we are determined into looking into the possibility to acquire companies that would increase the differentiation of our product catalog. And they would allow us to take content and distribute it effectively on our installed base of systems. Almost 6,000 systems installed are the real asset that this company can offer vis-a-vis a target that we could buy and then integrate. So stay tuned on that. As far as tool is concerned, just a comment on molecular. I think that there is one single exception where the market has converted, in fact, which is the C. diff. That conversion already happened a long time ago in the U.S. They're not even, the FDA does not even allow registration of new products based on immunoassay for C. diff. However, that does not apply to all the other products that make the stool portfolio. Today we have six products already approved and launched on our platform. A very key one is coming our way, which is the CalProtectin, and we are very happy with the development of this product line. As you know, we focus for the time being mainly on the European market, where we have the installed base of systems and we can rapidly penetrate the customer base.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. My first question is on the ELISA sales growth in the quarter, which was quite surprising for me. I understand China and Asia was a source of the surprise, but can you add more color on the performance of this division, and also what can we expect in 2015? Was this quarter a one-off, or is there a more sustainable trend? A second question on the very strong instrument placement in the quarter, which would very likely lead you above the 500 unit target. Any one-off in there, any particular tender, what we can expect going forward? Third question, can you expand a little bit on vitamin D volumes in Europe, and what's the competition there? Thank you.
Okay, first of all, Massimo, congratulations for the newcomer.
Oh, thank you very much.
For the enlarged family. Thank now, going back to the products, as far as ELISA is concerned, yes, you know, these are known, you should not be looking at the quarter in order to understand trends in this business, because a lot of this business is tender related. So take China, for example. Beginning of the year, it seems that the business had gone south, but it was pretty much the way that the seasonalization of different tenders. As far as the outlook, we believe that the outlook is positive, and again, this is pretty much related to the fact that we won this immense tender in Turkey, is all the blood bank, and we will start the delivery of products starting from the second quarter of next year, and we're going to have a great contribution coming from this tender alone for the 2015. So I think it will this will pretty much stabilize and possibly slightly increase our ELISA business. Also, taking in consideration that it was made public very recently that our largest competitor, Bio-Rad, got into legal issues about, malpractice in certain markets, and that clearly is helping us out. Today, in this market, ELISA market, blood bank, pretty much there are three players, of which us and Bio-Rad are the leading companies. And then following is Siemens, that does not really see this clearly, this product line as strategic. As far as vitamin D volume is concerned, what we pretty much continue to see the same trends as we have seen before, positive or negative. We see in the U.S. The business is, the overall vitamin D business is relatively stable, growing low single digits. Because of the over-penetration. We see the benefits of being present in one of the largest labs in the U.S. because these guys continue to buy more and more labs. And every time they buy a lab, we get the volume. And so as far as LabCorp is concerned, our volume of vitamin D business continues to grow and outperform the growth of the market. You saw also that they announced that they bought Covance. So again, as I keep saying, when you are inside the big lab, these big labs, yes, there is always discussion about pricing, but then since they are expanding so much, you always gain on the volume side. So far for us, it has always been good to be there. And that's U.S. vitamin D. As far as outside the U.S., it's business as usual in Europe, with the exception of France, where the change of reimbursement really hit the market. I think the expectation is that volume will decrease 30% to 40% in France as a result of this of the reform, which has nothing to do with reimbursement, but has to do with claims. Outside in Europe, it continues to grow double digit. And again, don't forget that there is still an elephant out there, which is called Japan, that sooner or later will kick in, and that is going to have a positive impact on the vitamin D business.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you, Massimo.
The next question is from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple left. Firstly, on molecular diagnostics, I wondered if you could provide us an update on both the number of placements of the IM and also the rollout timetable for the hemo-oncology pipeline of menu of tests. Secondly, I wonder if you could possibly have an outlook for the tax rate sort of going forward. There have obviously have been a number of changes, as you said. Assuming sort of the business stays as it is now, could we have some long-term tax rate, if possible, outlook? That would be very helpful. And finally then, just returning to the cash comment where I think as highlighted, your cash is at an all-time high. Clearly M&A is on the agenda, but also I was wondering what the sort of current priority was with regards to both dividends and also share buybacks. I guess it's been a couple of years now, almost to the day, since either have been proposed. Is there any particular reason why the board has decided to wait over the last 2 years before acting again? Thank you.
Okay, I will go in reverse order. As far as cash is concerned, so far, as said, there has been a statement saying that we look forward to invest cash into the company. And as far as dividends or buyback, that is more responsibility of the board of directors. But all our priority so far has always been to put cash into operation because it makes sense for us, and the return is greater than just distributing the dividend. But again, that's a decision that eventually the board of directors will have to take. As far as tax rate, I think you can use 36%. As for your long-term projection, very clearly, there is a strong imbalance between U.S., where the effective tax rate is around 38% for us, and Italy, where is 32%. So Italy, U.S. is becoming a very expensive country to do business in. And that is mostly to do with sales tax on the medical sales tax. Going back to your first question, as far as molecular diagnostic, as you remember, now there have been a few calls where I stated that we are focusing our effort into the oncohematology strategy simply because The infectious disease field is becoming price competitive to a level that is I think everybody who plays in that business is paying a price. I don't know if you noticed, but some of the very large competitors that are infectious disease molecular diagnostic have shown they slow down vis-a-vis the pace of growth, and that has nothing to do with volume because adoption rate is not slowing down. It has to do with the fact that today there's an ongoing price war with prices going down 20% per year, which is difficult to bear for a company. For that reason, we shifted gear into onchromatology. We recently launched the first assay on onchromatology. And onchromatology, as we discussed, is an opportunity because there is no the competition is mostly homebrew testing. The price is still in the per reaction is still in the 50 euro range. Is a homebrew testing. There are limited number of accounts. If you take Italy, for example, there are 50 primary centers doing onchromatology and 40 secondary centers doing onchromatology. So they can be reached quite easily with a limited commercial effort. Let me remind you that one of the problems in molecular is that a salesperson that is highly educated usually is costing twice what a regular salesperson costs for to support the rest of the business. And so we launched the first product of onchromatology, and then we're going to be launching the next two in 2015. I think I touched on all the points. Right?
That's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions for me. The first one is a follow-up on the vitamin D. Are there some major important contracts like LabCorp expected to be renewed in 2015, or we can assume that the decline on vitamin D will be maintained at around -3%, -4% for 2015? And the second question on Clia X vitamin D business, given the pipeline, the test launched in the last 12 months, can you confirm double-digit growth also for 2015 for this business? Thank you.
As far as vitamin D is concerned, what we stated is that I think we got better visibility. In fact, what we projected for 2014 pretty much is what we are confirming. What we saw in 2014, which is good. We keep saying that ex special situations like the LabCorp one where we traded price for other products, we don't expect in 2015 the renegotiation on any existing large contracts. And so we believe that, as said, the let me say, effect on pricing on vitamin D should stay between 3 to 5% per year. As far as ClearXD, we keep saying that on an increasing install base as well as on a continuous output of new products, we feel comfortable that the double digit growth on ClearX vitamin D is sustainable.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Mark Pospisilik of Tempen & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my questions. Just two for me. Maybe just further clarification on the vitamin D, if I maybe two aspects to that. One, if I understood correctly, if I just caught your last comment, stabilization would be -3 to 5% per year, or did I misunderstand that? And sort of related question to that, because I think we've heard about stabilization now for a couple quarters now, so just maybe a little more color on what the trajectory is there. And then on use of the cash or potential acquisitions you mentioned, is it likely to be a priority for you that would be in a CLIA technology space, or would you also consider molecular diagnostics? The reason I'm wondering that and be interested to hear your comments is whether your focus on the LAMP technology in the molecular diagnostics in any way limits the potential acquisitions there. Thanks.
As far as vitamin D, you're right. You caught my comment, -3 to -5%, which is, I think, the current rate now for a few quarters. In this quarter, ex LabCorp, decline has been -3.6%, if I remember correctly. And therefore, we believe that is the sustainable vitamin D rate. As far as acquisitions are concerned, never say never, but my priority will not be molecular diagnostic for two reasons. Too expensive, very expensive, and where you are paying a lot of opportunities that should materialize years from now. And I think it's a very dangerous game, and also because of the unpredictability of the way reimbursement and pricing will go. So we made a decision to invest directly into developing technology, into a research and development project, so that we these are variables we can control. Cost to the company is relatively limited because we are talking about 10 million euros per year of OPEX, which we can clearly sustain. And so, to make a long story short, I believe that we should continue to look at opportunities in the area of immunoassay, content of immunoassay, and the reason is very simple. We now have a very extensive install base, almost 6,000 platforms. Every time we develop a new product and we can very rapidly put it on the install base and generate growth. And since, as you can imagine, we would not be buying anything that goes on mainstream, but would be more content for specialty, that clearly would also drive the profitability up of the technology.
Great, thanks, very clear.
Yep.
Mr. De Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you, operator. Bye.